Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Guys, all right. Hey, happy Mother's Day. Aren't these guys awesome? You guys did great. What a blessing. Hey, as they're getting, how many of you also are very grateful for the people that do the children's ministry in this church? Do an incredible job. Awesome. As they're on the way out, I got to tell you a Mother's Day story in our family with Michelle and I. You know, I think someone told on me, Pastor Steve kind of told this a couple years ago, so I'm gonna own up to it. It was Mother's Day about 3 or 4 years ago, and I got to tell you, I thought like I had everything together. I got all the right gifts, helped the kids get their cards, and Michelle's opening her gifts. She's opening up all the cards, and then she opens mine, and it's a really sweet card, but then right at the end of it, it says, "Happy Birthday." Some guy took that from the Happy Birthday section and put it in the Mother's Day section to just do that to me. It was a great card. I read everything except the last line. And anyway, so happy Mother's Day to you. And remember, Mother's Day is just Father's Day with more expensive gifts. It really is. You know, the kids in here, that was just what a blessing. The little ones in here and to hear them just to sing to you. But there was a time in a church where they were doing like a children's play. And they were all little ones and, you know, toddlers and elementary kids, and they were, each one of them had a line to give in the play. Well, one little boy, it was his turn to give his line, and he froze. It was like a deer in the headlights, saw all those people, and everybody's pulling for him. You can do it. And finally, his mom slips out of the couple rows back, and she leans over the stage, and she says, "I am the light of the world." Well, then he's just excited. He has his line, and he gets real strong and proud, and he goes, "My mom is the light of the world." And that's absolutely the truth. Moms really are the light of this world, and happy Mother's Day. Thanks for coming today. And I want to take just a little bit of time with you this morning. One of the things I always do on Father's Day is I make the sermon much shorter. So why do you do that? Because men get to leave church early. They feel like a bonus. But it's Mother's Day, so we're going to go real long. No, I won't do that. But this morning, I want to talk to you just briefly about the three most important women in my life, the three most important moms in my life, and each one of them, the most important thing I learned from them. This morning, I have my moms here, my mother-in-law, Myra Shiver, and, of course, Michelle. Would you guys just bless them and give them a hand? Let me start with my mom first. And my mom was about 41 years old, and she didn't know the Lord. She was a very religious person, went to church all the time, but she really didn't know Christ. She'd never given her life to Jesus, but she was doing her best to serve God in the context that she had. Well, she was about 41 years old, and she's, you know, and I don't have time to give you a lot of context, but life wasn't really simple. She had 5 kids, and her husband, of course, and they aren't believers, and it was a little, there was just a once in a while conflict, just once in a while, but what made it worse is my grandparents lived in our backyard, and that would be okay, except my grandmother, and she ended up giving her life to Jesus, and this, I just wanted, I have, I, I'm making it this quick for time, was kind of demon-possessed. I don't know how to say that politely, okay, but and she was not a very pleasant person. And this constant influence on my mom's life, plus all the things that happened in life, she was really at a time where she was despairing of her life. She was 41. She was laying in bed and contemplating what she should do with her life. Her kids were growing up, and she was thinking, maybe I should go to college, trying to figure out a purpose for her life. What am I here for? And while she laid in the bed, she had an experience with God. And she says that it was like a man would have been speaking, almost like you would hear a person speak, heard these words. seek first my kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. Now, the church I was raised in, we didn't read the Bible. We were never taught to read the Bible. So she didn't know that was a Bible scripture. But it was God dealing with her to go after me first. All the things you think are going to put your life back together and make you happy will never do it. Put me first. And all those things you're hoping for, I will add to you. And that's what she began to do. So she began to go after God with all of her heart. This was back in the 1970s when the Catholic Charismatic Renewal happened. How many of you remember that? It was birthed out of Duquesne University, and it swept the world. And so my mom began to go to Bible studies and began to read the Bible. And then one of those Bible studies one evening, one of those ladies there led my mom to Jesus, where she gave her life to Christ and received Christ into her life. And no longer was she trying to earn her relationship with God. She had now received Christ, and everything changed that night. And my mom just went for it for God. I mean, she went after God with all of her heart. She started going to churches that would just teach the Bible. And so she would go virtually. If they were having a meeting somewhere and somebody was saying they were teaching from the scripture, she wanted to go. So she went to a lot of different places. And then one of those days, once in a while, she'd bring me. Now, I have four brothers, but I didn't mind going. And it kind of was just she and I would go to some of those things. So I went with her. I didn't mind. You know, I was probably 13, 14 years old. And she brought me to one meeting where we got in the place, and it was about, I don't know, maybe 80, 90, 100 people. And the person preaching was, I'd never seen anybody preach like this. Anybody, y'all remember Chuck Berry when he played the guitar? I was too old for him as well, but he'd hop on one and just kind of hop across. That's how this lady preached. And I mean, I'd never seen anybody do that in my life. Just she's preaching, shouting, and I'm watching this lady. They singing. Look, these people sang like God was alive. No, really. Because I have people come to me all the time and say, Pastor John, I'm a little uncomfortable in this church. Why? Well, people are just a bit overboard with that, you know, singing such things. You're uncomfortable worshiping God in church. Think about that. Well, I understand that. I was just kind of wigged out by it. People were worshiping God and like he's alive, and I'm just like, get me out of here. And then the lady stopped speaking, and she said, we need to go back to Egypt. And I thought, this is getting crazy. She said, the foyer of the church is Egypt. Everybody get in the foyer. Now, the foyer was about 12 by 12, and we couldn't fit. She said, no, you have to fit. And I'm in the middle of this crowd of people, and they keep pushing tighter and tighter. And I'm thinking, kill my mother. I got to get out of here. And then all of a sudden, she says, we're going to go to Canaan's land. Now, I've never been to Canaan's land, never been to Egypt either. And when she said, let's all go to Canaan's land, when I tell you they took off running and did this run around the church, now they didn't run around like wait for the line to move. They ran like a NASCAR race. Whoom! All in, they just moved. You either ran or you got ran over. So here I am, this 14-year-old kid running or getting run over, and I'm thinking every time we go around, I'm going to hit the door and get out of here. But just, you know, not every experience was kind of that crazy, but I got to tell you, she was hungry for God. And she went after God with all of her heart. And you know, but I want just the most important thing I learned from my mom is this simple principle. She did what God put in her heart to do. She sought him first. She went after God with all of her heart. And when she began to do that, it didn't make everybody happy. You know, you may find this out in your life. People are fine with you until you begin to walk with God and make your walk with God a serious thing. It offends people. Now, you should never impose that on people. You should never tell somebody what they need to do. That's between them and God. Certainly, you can tell them about your walk with God if they want to hear it. But it wasn't just that. It's just that people were upset at her. She left the church of our birth and started to go to churches that taught the Bible. And man, our whole family went nuts on her. Everybody was angry at her. My dad was angry at her. Every friend she had, they were angry at her. And all this pressure was coming to her, and it's like it never fazed her. And I remember people confronting her. And she would just right in the face, she'd say, listen, I'm walking with God. You want to be my friend? Great. If you don't, great. My dad. I grew up in an Italian home. You have to understand, my father, when he would yell, the windows would rattle in the neighbor's house. He was a strong, like, man, he just, my dad didn't have hair, he had fur. He just was, really, and so my dad didn't like this. So he gets in my mom's face and said, this Jesus stuff's over. I've had it. Well, my mom's like 5 foot nothing. She points her finger up in his face. I was there. I watched it and said, and in essence, I'm going to cut this down. But she said to him, she said, I'm going to walk with God all of my life, whether you like it or not. And if it's between me walking with God and you staying with me, then you have to leave. Because I will walk with God. Now, she didn't stop being a good wife. Probably, actually became a better wife. Didn't stop being a good mom. But he got between her and God. And he said, no, no, no. I'll tell you how you'll walk with God. And she put her finger in his face and said, no one will tell me how to walk with God. And she stood up. I mean, my dad was, eyeballs got big. Then she went down the line to her 5 sons. I was in the room. Baby Jesus was even there. You know, if you're new to here, that's our youngest, the youngest in the family. And those of you who have a big family, the youngest you know is the baby Jesus. That's the one that's the one your parents really loved. Put the rest of us in therapy. But anyway, baby Jesus. And my mother went, I mean, she said to us, she called us, you kids. If none of you ever speak to me again, you need to understand that I'm going to walk with God. And she drew a line, and she didn't move. Now, what resulted in that was my dad coming to Christ. And I can tell you, if it were not for the 3 women I introduced to you earlier, you wouldn't be sitting in this church. See, the decisions you make as a mom often happen in absolute obscurity, but the domino effect of your decisions impacts so many people. Nothing you see here would have happened except for the 3 women I introduced to you today. Moms make an absolute difference. So she taught me how to put the things of God first in my life. That when pressure comes, you don't move away from God. He's your answer, not your problem. And so I'm so thankful for that. The second lady, of course, the second woman that's so meaningful in my life is my mother-in-law, Myra. And because she gave me the greatest gift I've ever been given in my life, Michelle. But Myra, you know, her life didn't turn out the way she thought it would. When she was a young woman in school, when she was in high school, she was voted most likely to succeed in her class. So she had a pretty high expectation of her life. She got married. But the man she married decided not to be a faithful man. And he left. And he abandoned her, and he abandoned her 3 children. And left them financially desolate. Now, this was in a time in life when women typically didn't work outside of the home. And she had every capacity to go and be educated, but she was trusting that this man would do what he was promised to do, and he didn't. And her life turned on a dime. She's sitting with a life she never intended to have. I would guess there's most of us in this room have had that happen at some point in your life. You wake up and you're having a part of your life. Your life has become something you thought, how did this happen to me? When that happened to her, she made a decision. She could either sink into despair that being a single mom with no money with 3 kids can produce, and boy, can produce it. Or you can fight life through. Or you can do everything you know to do. And the most important decision she made, that she went after God with all of her heart when her life fell apart. See, a lot of people get bitter when life falls apart. A lot of people blame God for the things other people do. Don't blame God because somebody did something foolish in your life. God's not the author of bad choices that people make. He's not the author of my bad choices either, or yours. But she made a decision to go after God with everything in her heart, and she did it. And it resulted in her children having lives that they otherwise would not have had. There's a scripture I want to read you from the book of Numbers, and I don't have time to give it context, but when there was a plague falling among the people and Moses had given Aaron instruction how to stop the plague, and listen to what the Bible says in Numbers 16. So Aaron did as Moses said, and he ran into the midst of the assembly. The plague had already started among the people, but Aaron offered incense and made atonement for them. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. You see, she was voted most likely to succeed in her class, but the circumstances in her children's lives would now deem that they would be probably voted least likely to succeed. Because when you're left as a single parent, when you're left without income, the deck gets stacked against you very, very quickly. Very quickly. And instead of her simply running and doing whatever she just was going to do with her life and try to figure it out, just make it about her, she went after God. She made a decision, and here's what the principle I've learned from her, that she ran between the living and the dead, and she stopped the plague. Instead of running and succumbing to the pressure, she made a stand, and she walked with God. And she made an enormous difference in the lives of her three kids. Her oldest son has a master's degree in electrical engineering, works for NASA. He's one of the few guys that if somebody's talked to him and said, "What do you think you are? Who are you, a rocket scientist?" He could say yes. Of course, Michelle and I have pioneered this church together, and her youngest son, Scott, is a missionary in Thailand. She stopped the plague. Some of you in this room are that generation. You see, when Myra was a little girl, when she was just a little girl, 2-3 years old, her father died. So she grew up without a father. Then her kids, because of the choices that she had no control over, growing up without a father. But her grandchildren are not growing up without a father. She stopped it. She stopped the plague. And many of you in this room are that person in the generation. Don't you ever underestimate the power you have as a mom. I know it's uphill as parents. Dads, we know it too. But it's worth fighting. This past week, Kevin Durant with the plays in Oklahoma City, he was voted MVP of the NBA. And he gave a part of his speech. Many of you may have seen it on ESPN, and he talked about his mom. This is an incredible lady. Take a look at this video, and then I want to go to the third lady.
And last, my mom. I don't think you know what you did. You had my brother when you were 18 years old. 3 years later, I came out. We were stacked, the odds were stacked against us. Single parent with two boys by the time you were 21 years old. Everybody told us we weren't supposed to be here. We moved from apartment to apartment by ourselves. One of the best memories I had is when we moved into our first apartment. No bed, no furniture, and we just all sat in the living room and just hugged each other. Because we thought we made it. And when something good happens to you, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to look back to what brought me here. And you wake me up in the middle of the night in the summer times, making me run up a hill, making me do push-ups, screaming at me from the sideline of my games at 8 or 9 years old. We wasn't supposed to be here. You made us believe. You kept us off the street, put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You went to sleep hungry. You sacrificed for us. You're the real MVP.
Is that awesome? What a blessing, huh? You know, when you're making your choices as a parent, and you say, look, another thing about Mother's Day, it can be a time when you have great regret. Because I can tell you, our kids are getting older, and I have enormous regret already as a father. So didn't you do a pretty decent job? Listen, we always look back with a different lens. of what we should have done or could have done. And so I want to encourage you, moms in this room, that this day can be a painful day for you. Your influence in your children's lives isn't over. You say, well, our relationship may not even be that strong. Well, you can make an enormous impact in prayer over your kids' lives. And you can pray for them. You can stand between the living and the dead in prayer as a parent as well. So I'm so thankful for my mom, who taught me to seek the kingdom of God first, for my mother-in-law, who taught me to fight life through, and when things are difficult, you don't run. You run to where people are in trouble, and you put your life in between them, and God makes a difference in your life. And because she did that, I was enabled to be given the greatest gift in my life, my wife, Michelle. And, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that I think is so, this just so defines the person that I married. And it's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I'm so honored to be married to someone that I can say that I see God in her. There's something about the difficulty of a large church is that you don't get to know everybody personally. But I just, you know, Michelle doesn't say much. She's done so much in the church here, and all the decor you see in the building she did, and all those great things that she, and talent she has, all that aside, and that's all very beneficial. All the work she did to pioneer this church and to believe God and all that from the onset of the beginning days of this church, as important as all that is, and it's pretty important. The most valuable thing I've learned from her is that her heart is so after God. And out of all the people I know on planet Earth, and I know a lot of people, and I know some relatively prominent people, there's no one on the earth I admire more than her, and I know all of her faults. So I'm not saying she's perfect. I'm not trying to embarrass her. But there's something about a person who has a desire to do what's right before God, and they're pure in heart. And not only do they see God, but you see God in them. Our children are so honored to have had her as their mother. And I'm unimaginably honored to have her as my wife. She made a decision in her life that she was going to go after God, and there would be nothing that would move her. And you know, her influence on my life was very significant. When we first got married, I'd like to tell you that I was secure and I had, you know, an understanding today that I have today, but I didn't. We were speaking in churches, and often we would go out with the pastor and other pastors that would maybe be there, and we'd be sitting around eating dinner, and we'd go back to wherever we were staying. And Michelle would ask me, she'd say, "Honey, you know, you were kind of like the focus of that night because you were the speaker. And did you notice that guy sitting at the end of the table, that other pastor who no one said a word to all night? Did you notice how his countenance began to fail as he was ignored all night? Did you notice that while you were having a great time, he was feeling diminished?" She wasn't saying that to criticize me. She was trying to help me as a man to see beyond myself. And I really didn't. I had no idea. She said, "Honey," I'm not saying this to make you feel badly, but that man's back wherever he's staying in his hotel room. And I promise you, tonight he's feeling very, very bad. And she began to teach me to have a heart for people. You know, people come into this church and they say, "There's something about this church. It loves people. This church loves people." It does. That came out of the person that I married. Now, she's helped me to see that, and she's helped that get into my life. And I've grown in this area of my life significantly. No one's perfect. But she taught me that. She taught me not only to have a heart toward God, but to have a heart for people. And nothing you see here would exist in the culture that exists without her. And I'm so honored to have her as my wife. But for every mom here, you can be this person. And those of you dedicating your little ones today, I know when your kids are little, you feel like this is never going to, man, this is just crazy. My life, I'd give $1,000 to go to the bathroom alone. Listen, it's going to go real fast. But every investment you make, put the things of God first in your life. The lessons that I learned are important for every person, man and woman alike in this room. Put God first in your life. Put Him first in your children's lives. Don't ask your children permission about what you should invest in them spiritually. If you have teenagers, and I'm talking about mainly younger ones that you can do this just by a decision. When they're older, it takes a little bit more wisdom if you haven't done this already. But if your 13-year-old says, I don't want to go to youth group, you look at them and say, honey, I love you very much, but whoever gave you the idea you had an option of where you go? Get your tail in the car. I don't want to go. Sweetheart, look, I don't care what you want. I'm your mother. And if your mother doesn't do it, my kids will tell you, here's the rule in the house when the mom leaves. Mom cares if you're happy. I don't. Not my job. You know, it's not your job to make your children happy. Next week, we're going to talk about the 7 worst things parents do when it comes to raising their kids. You don't want to miss that. And these 7 things can be lethal to your children. And the following week, when we end this series, I'm going to be talking about what to do when your marriage is struggling, what to do when you feel like the wheels are coming off your marriage, or maybe it's come off completely. And it'll be applicable whether you're in a struggling marriage or a good marriage. But I'm believing that weekend to see God do something amazing in here and to start a process to put marriages back together. In the 20-year history of this church, a whole bunch of divorces have been canceled. And I'm trusting in a couple weeks we're going to see a bunch more. Because people struggle in relationships. Because we live in a stupid culture. You said stupid in church. Let me say it more politely. We live in an extremely stupid culture that demoralizes the family and diminishes the capacities of the family. But God has a plan to put it back together again. So every person in this room, put the kingdom first. Put your walk with God first. The Bible talks about Noah, that he built an ark to the saving of his house. He created the vehicle that his family could be saved. And he did it, the Bible says, against the raging sin of the culture. Every mom in this room, you are building an ark to the saving of your family. You're giving them a vehicle to be able to go into life, to be able to hear God's voice. And I want to encourage you to do these 3 things that I've learned from these 3 wonderful women in my life. Whether you're a wife, a mother, a father, whoever you are, whatever your station in life is. 1, put God first in your life, which I learned from my mom. 2, when life doesn't go as you planned it, don't run away from God, you run to God. That's what I learned from my mother-in-law. And when you run to God, you don't just run to God, you run Him where the trouble is, and you stand between the living and the dead, and you stop the plague. You can do that in your life. And then lastly, what I learned from my wife is, more importantly than any gift she has, and they're wonderful gifts, is I live with somebody who knows God, someone who prays, and I mean prays for people from the depths of her soul. And when she prays for somebody, it's not some restaurant prayer. I mean, she's passionate about that person because she doesn't just love God. She taught me to love people. So don't just love Jesus. Love the people that Jesus died for, whether they know Him or whether they don't. So I want to encourage you today. Moms, thank you for what you do. I hope today you have a wonderful day. And for those of you that today is not such a wonderful day, in a moment I'll be praying for you as well. Because sometimes Mother's Day can be a tough day for people. And I want to pray for you as well. But I want to pray over families. And then I want to give an invitation for everybody here to come to know God in their life, to know Christ. Listen to me. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about trying a list that you fulfill to make yourself right with God. I want to talk to you about a relationship with God through Christ. So would you bow your heads with me, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, in a moment I want to talk to you, but I want to pray over the families here first. But I want you to have your heart opened. Father, I pray for every family here. I pray for every mom in this room. Thank you for the sacrifices they make. Thank you for what they have done in our lives. On behalf of everybody in this room that's been blessed by their mom, I thank you on their behalf. And Father, I pray for those in this room, the moms that feel like they're not enough, feel like that life has overwhelmed them, or the moms that feel like I dropped the ball, or the people in this room who may have been hurt by their moms or maybe didn't have a mom that was active in their life. I pray that you bring a comfort to their heart and a courage that they can know that to walk with you can produce life and can put the broken pieces back together again, that you truly can heal the brokenhearted. And so, Lord, I pray that over every family in this room. I pray over families. I pray as next week as we address the 7 worst things parents can do, that moms and dads will gain resources to be able to parent in a way that produces life in their kids. And Lord, for that final weekend, I pray that marriages in this church will be strengthened. And for those whose marriages are on the edge and the wheels are coming off, that you'll put it back together again. I pray over the families in this room. And as heads remain bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as the Savior of your life, I didn't ask you if you go to church. Look, I'm a pastor. I'm all for going to church. But church doesn't make you a Christian. There is no church that can make you a child of God. There is no church attendance or membership or a sacrament of any church that can make you a Christian. Well, I was baptized when I was a baby. That's wonderful. That's meaningful. But it didn't make you a Christian. No church, no sacrament, baptism, confirmation, you name it, none of them make you a Christian. There's only one thing the Bible says that will make you right with God, that will make you a child of God, that will cause the sin debt in your life to be paid for, is to receive Christ willingly into your heart by asking Him in. If you've never invited Christ into your heart, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. I promise you I'm not going to ask you to stand. I will not single you out, and I will not embarrass you. But if you're here today and you say to me, Pastor John, I don't know that I've ever done that. I don't know that I've ever given my life to Jesus. Maybe you're a good person. I commend you for it. Or maybe you're on the other side of the spectrum and you think, man, I'm here because it's Mother's Day. You're lucky the walls didn't cave in because I showed up. No, that's an absolute lie. Jesus died for people like you and me. And all you have to do is come to Him. He'll receive you, and then He'll teach you how to walk with Him in everyday life. And He'll take you places you never dreamed of. He'll fix broken things that a million people lined up for a million years can't fix in you. Because he's the God that loves you enough to die for you. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, you'd say, Pastor John, would you please include me in that prayer? I want to receive Christ in my heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand. Then we'll all pray the prayer out loud together with you right where you're seated. So if you desire to be included in that prayer right where you're seated, would you simply raise your hand so I can see it? Do it right now, and then I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've not yet raised your hand. Say, Pastor, please include me with those many that have done so. You can see I'm not going to embarrass you or single you out. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, I didn't yet raise my hand. Please include me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment. Lift your hand. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. One last moment. I want to be certain. Thank you, honey. God bless you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. The scripture declares He turns no one away. That includes you. Pray this where you hear it, and we'll pray it together with you. Christ will come into your heart. Your sin debt will be gone. You will be heaven bound, not because of your promises, but because of God's. Pray this where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. So I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior, to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? As we prepare to worship the Lord with our giving, if you need offering envelopes, they're there in the seat pocket in front of you. If you're giving toward the legacy offering, which is the reduction of the additional debt we incurred in building this facility, please memo that. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Thank you for your investment.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.